John chapter number 6, verse 60. Reading John 6, going through John 6, we fed 5,000. We've seen Christ walk on the sea. He's expressed himself as the bread of life. And as we concluded last week, John chapter 6 and verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" Again, we're reminded that sometimes the Lord has hard things for us to handle. So what is our appropriate response? Well, some handled it correctly, some did not. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? And what, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you," and he reminds us of these two things, "they are spirits and they are life. There are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not. And who should betray him?" Now we know who betrays him. The Lord tells us by the end of the passage, and we'll get there. He identifies Judas. He's not the only one in the passage, though. Christ was denied also by Peter. Now, not betrayed, but denied. We're going to talk about Peter a little bit here tonight. The Bible says in verse 65, "And he said, Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except if were given unto him of my Father." And these sad words in verse 66, "And from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you again, Lord, again, just so many times have seen ourselves in these passages, and Lord, the things that people have done, and Lord, we often repeat. Lord, I pray that you'd help us in our heart to love you, follow you, not deny you. Lord, I pray that you'd have your hand upon the service here tonight. Thank you for the good singing that cheers our heart, encourages our soul. Thank you for that. God, we pray that is a preparer for the message here tonight. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Sad words in verse 66. Sad words because not only did it happen 2,000 years ago, but we've seen it. You've seen loved ones, friends, family, whatever it may be, fellow Christians, fellow members of our own church that came up against a hard time in life, and instead of drawing closer to the Lord like you should, went back and walked no more with Christ. That's sad. You know, Christ certainly died for the whole world. We know that. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." On the cross, when Jesus died, he had everybody in mind. There was a payment enough for everybody. No one excluded. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But you know, the Lord isn't just, he doesn't preach messages and says things just to get masses to follow him. He speaks something of which we call the truth. And sometimes the truth, unfortunately, may push people away. But he also is very concerned. Yes, not he loves every soul. But he's also worried about quality of following. Say, no, he'll take me just as I am. Yes, but he does desire that we live holy. And when he starts making statements like he did previously of, "Hey, apart from me, you cannot," and things like that, and they're like, whoa, that's... And once he starts crossing into that, now your faith and following me is going to cost you a little something, I'm not sure I want to follow anymore. Hey, it was all good. Hey, I like coming when I'm getting fed. But now you're asking something of me, and I'm not sure. Hey, we're going to see a lot of lines drawn tonight. I know we're only, I think there's only 5 or 6 verses here, and I don't expect this to be long, but there are some very definitive lines. I titled this message, Double Down. Say, what does that mean? Well, he said some things that are harsh, and there's some that had a hard time with that. It wasn't just, Christ wasn't just trying to have the biggest following. He was looking to make disciples of men. And to be a disciple, you're going to have to say no to the world and yes to the things of God. And some people just can't do that. So they'd rather walk away. Christ helps you with it if you'd like. He's available. But he does desire that we live holy. The quality of our following is important to the Lord. Hold your hand in John chapter 6. Let's look at some of these verses. Ephesians chapter number 5. In verse 27, it says that he might present to himself a glorious church. Say, what does that mean? That must be full numbers, beautiful, ornate, lovely, and all those things. No, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The glorious church isn't the volume, it is the quality of the church. Now again, you understand what I'm saying here. This isn't, hey, unless you're holy, you can't come to church, and let's be careful with that. But he does desire that we'd be without blemish. He does desire that we'd be holy. And what is that going to take? That's going to take saying, hey, I can't just do whatever I want to do. I'm going to have to say no to the flesh, to the world, to myself. And some people say, I'm sorry, that just doesn't work for me. And Christ says, well, that's what I desire. I want you to be clean. Not having spot or wrinkle. Just last week or so, I think it was last week, we were up in Jersey there getting ready for Rebecca's wedding. And we were at Solid Rock, and I was given one job. Iron one tablecloth. That's all I had to do. And I was ironing for a long time. I don't know what, Mrs. K, they were big tablecloths, and they didn't iron very well. And so I'm ironing, and I'm like, all right, that, you know what? That's good enough. Mrs. Graber came over and said, I'll take that. And I said, well, I couldn't get it. She goes, I'll get it. No wrinkles. And sometimes we get satisfied in our own life. Well, you know, that's good enough. We need a Mrs. Graber to come by and say, no. No wrinkles. That thing's got to be clean. Hey, to be a follower of Christ, we're going to have to say no to the world. When was the last time you said no to the world? When was the last time you said no to the flesh? If you were in John chapter 6 and hard words came and he said, hey, it's going to cost you something to follow me, what group would you have been with? Hey, I understand, pretty awesome to see 5,000, maybe upwards to 12,000 people fed with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But when it came time to cost them something, well, I'll follow Christ just as long as he's feeding. Yeah, but what happens when you become a disciple and now it's a cost? Some lines were drawn. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. In verse 2. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. You know what he wants? He wants you clean. Godly jealousy. Jealousy is a sin, not for God. He gets jealous when you worship or go anywhere else. Why? Because he deserves our worship. He's the only one that can be jealous and be right. Look at 2 Peter chapter number 3. How's the quality of your fellowship of Christ? 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Could that be said of you? 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Say, I just got to Peter. I'm sorry. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a lot more verses. No, he's good with just how I am. That's not what I read. He desires that we'd be holy and clean before him. I understand holiness is a work in progress, and it's a lifelong, until the last day I'm here on this earth, it is a battle between flesh and spirit, and I understand that. But don't be satisfied with wrinkles. Don't be satisfied with, I'll follow just as long as I'm getting fed, but if this Christianity thing starts costing me something, I'm out. Don't let John 6:66 be your story. Hey, what happened to... Well, they got to the place where they were having to take a next step, and then they followed no more. That'd be sad to be spoken of like that. That's what he's laying out back to John chapter number 6. If, I'm trying to say this in a way that doesn't take away from the Lord, but you understand what I'm trying to say. If the 12 disciples following Christ was a reality series, say, what are you saying? Peter would get in a lot of airtime. Say, why is that? Because he just talks a lot. We have a lot of information about Peter. Christ brings him up. He calls him out. In verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? And here's the double down. Say, what do you mean? Well, we had a large group of people just leave, not just followers of Christ. The Bible said in verse 66 that from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. He looks at his 12 and he says, are you going to leave too? Then Peter doubled down. Say, what does that mean? That means he went all in. Then Simon Peter answered and said, answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Great answer, Peter. That's exactly what you should have. We know about Peter. When I think of Peter, I don't know what you think about, but maybe you think about him denying the Lord at the crucifixion. He gets a bad name. Later on, he will deny Christ. John chapter 13. You can turn there real quick if you'd like. We'll eventually get here, probably in 2025. John 13 and verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered, whither I go, thou canst not follow me. Speaking of the cross, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why can I not follow thee? Right? Here's Peter. This is typical Peter. I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. And he does do just that. Peter gets a bad name. Peter takes his eyes off Jesus and he starts sinking. And Christ corrects him and says, oh, ye of little faith. But man, he got out of the boat. He got out of the boat. He was the one, John chapter 18, look at John 18. We know a lot about Peter. Out of all the disciples, you probably know the most about him. We have a lot of his writings. He writes 1 and 2 Peter. John 18, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook of Kidron, where there was a garden into which he entered, and his disciples and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? Answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. I like this. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with him. And as soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Again, reminding us, they didn't capture him. He gave himself up. When asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. That the saying might be fulfilled which he spake of them, which thou gavest me, have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it in typical Peter fashion and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. Hey, if you're going to carry a sword, make it sharp. If you're going to carry a gun, put a bullet in it, right? Careful, primer. If you have a sub, there better be nuclear, right? And that's what I'm saying. All right, there you go. The servant's name was Malchus. So there's this guy. Can you imagine the scene in the garden? People are laying down because Jesus just said he was he. They get up, they do it again. Christ been kissed by Judas. They go to seize him. Peter's like, I'm not having any of this. No way. Takes out a sword, cuts the dude's ear off. That means he was going for his head. And I don't know, high priest has got some agile skills, right? Got his head out of the way. Not quick enough, though. Lost an ear. Which is remarkable because then Jesus heals that. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? That's Peter. Peter's the one out of the boat walking on water. Peter's the one that says, I will die with you. He's like, actually, you're going to deny me. Peter's the one that at the garden when they're laying hands on Christ, he's never seen that before, remember, because his hour had not come before. Takes out a sword. Peter would be the one with a forward and to-the-point answer. If somehow he could, he would rush into the great white throne of judgment just to see what was going on. He was the one in John chapter 13 that wouldn't allow Jesus to wash his feet. He was the one that rushed into the tomb in Luke chapter number 24. He was the one that was rebuked by Christ in Matthew chapter 16. Go back to John chapter number 6. We know a lot about Peter. And when everybody else, listen now, not a lot of points to the message tonight. But may I say this? May we follow in Peter fashion that if everybody else deserts, if everybody else abandons, if everybody else, if the people you're sitting next to, if the people down the street, friends, loved ones say, I don't want to follow Jesus anymore, may we follow in Peter fashion and say, we are all in. Because there may be some that wander. There may be some that choose not to follow Christ anymore. May that not dishearten us, but help us to double down. that if the disciples of Christ leave, may we say, I can go no other place but then to Jesus. Where else can I go? You have the words of eternal life. And I invite you to do the same. Hey, there's a movement out there. Somehow Christianity has wronged people. I don't doubt that there is abuse, and just because someone does something wrong doesn't mean that we blame Christ. I was telling Brother Rice, great illustration. If someone plays Mozart wrong, doesn't mean I blame Mozart. I blame the guy that didn't know how to play it. If someone mishandles and abuses the scriptures, I don't blame Christ. I blame the guy that mishandled the scriptures. It's not Christ's fault. His words are perfect. Well, people are doing dumb things in the name of Christ. Doesn't mean that you have to. Well, that pastor over there, he abused and he did wrong things. I don't deny those things. But may we be like Peter. Hey, just because some people stopped following doesn't mean we have to stop following. Christ asked the question, hey, what are you going to do? We have some of our young people getting ready to go back to Bible college. Like, there might be some people that you were expecting to see that might not be there that said, I want to go see what the other side has to offer. That doesn't mean you walk away. No. You get all the closer. Because where else can we go? Because he has the words of eternal life. So we conclude this passage, verse 69. Look at these words he says. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. I love those words. Hey, I don't care if anybody goes away. Know what I believe? I believe you are who you said you are. And I am sure of it. Oh, those are strong words. He didn't say, I think, I hope. It's probable. No, he said, he used the word sure, that thou art that Christ. Jesus answered them, verse 70. Again, when some were walking away, Peter doubled down. If others walk away, double down. Verse 70, look at the shock. Can you imagine the shock to that answer? Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Whoa! Again, let's paint the picture here. We had a lot of people just following you. You just fed a lot of people. There were a lot of followers. Disciples. And then some hard sayings were said. And some said, I'm out. And Peter's like, we're all in. And he's like, actually, one of you 12 is going to deny me. Not just deny me, betray me. Well, where did that come from? He says this, and one of you is a devil. That's a strong phrase. You know, the word demon doesn't appear in your King James Bible. Devils do. There are many devils. Look at 1 Timothy chapter number 4. Don't worry, Mrs. Buck, we're not going to be talking about scary things tonight. Just helping you out. I'm not going to get into the spirit world and all of that. But I do want to mention this. 1 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of what? Devils. It defines what a devil is. It is a spirit that seduces, that draws us away from Christ. Isaiah 34:13, similar passage. As we go back to John chapter number 6, when we read that passage, if verse 71 wasn't there, we would ask ourselves, I wonder which one that would be. I think the passage would lead us to believe if verse 71 wasn't there, we would maybe even consider Simon Peter. And he spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. The Lord answers the question here, takes the guessing game out of it, and Judas here is, well, Judas will be tied to some pretty strong things. Judas is connected to the Antichrist. Say, well, hold on, where are we going with this? Well, look at John 17. We'll just look at two verses here. John 17. I'm not saying Judas is the Antichrist. And we'll conclude all of this in a second. John 17, look at verse 12. It says, this, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Interesting phrase he gives for Judas, son of perdition. Anybody, that word perdition, not a word we normally use, means ruin. It means utter destruction, entire loss. If we look at 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, this is what Bible study is called. See how we're going back and forth? We're letting the scripture define what's happening here. Bible says in verse 3, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. Look at the phrase used for the actual Antichrist, the son of perdition. Interesting that was the same phrase used to describe Judas. He was speaking of the Antichrist to come and the things that were going to be happening and ruin, utter destruction, entire loss, the son of that. Judas is directly connected to the Antichrist. In verse 71, here he is identified. But the work of the Antichrist is found in another place. Look at 2 John. I know that word Antichrist is kind of scary to us, right? I mean, when we think about the beast, the false prophet, and the Antichrist, that's the unholy trinity that will show up in the book of Revelation. If you study your Bible and read that, and that's not tonight's study, but those things are very prevalent. Well, those are three different characters. The Antichrist, there is a Antichrist, like one that will take the throne about halfway through the tribulation, will sit upon in the temple and will declare himself God. And the Bible calls that in Daniel the abomination of desolation. And that begins a series of things. First half of the tribulation is peaceful. Second half is awful. God's opening up seals and judgments, and it is unlike anything else. It is the day of the Lord, as Joel describes it. And there is an actual individual that is the Antichrist. But anything that's contrary to Christ is also Antichrist by definition. If we look in 2 John chapter number 1, if your Bible has 2 John chapter number 2, you might need a new Bible. 2 John. On my Bible, it's page 1326. It is way towards the end. There's two or three books after that. So if you're in John chapter number 2, you're in the wrong spot. It is 2 John chapter number 1. Look at verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world. Do you see that? For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and, look at next word, an Antichrist. Not the Antichrist. Do I think Judas was the Antichrist? No. But he's tied to it. So it is with you and I when we go with things that are contrary to the word of God and God himself. Hey, your father the devil is a liar. Hey, when you tell lies and you live a lie, you know what you're more like? The enemy. God is a God of truth and peace and love and all of those things. So when we act contrary to Christ, we're acting anti-Christ. So are you calling us antichrist? Do you understand what I'm saying, right? Does everyone get what I'm saying? Brother Hodges, are you getting this? All right, good. This is not a new doctrine. We're not coming up with new things. I'm just saying, when you go against the things of the Lord, God takes that serious. Hey, you want the easiest life? You want the way of the transgressor's hard. You want an easy life? You want a life filled with joy and peace? Follow Jesus. Say, well, that's going to cost me something. Don't let that limit your following of Christ. There were a lot of lines drawn at the last five verses of John chapter number 6. Christ drew a line and a bunch of people said, I'm sorry, we can't cross that. Then Peter draws a line and says, whom? Here's me. I'm all in. And he's like, well, here, let me draw another line. There's Judas over there. So where are you tonight? Are you marginal? Are you just hanging around the things of God just to try and get something from him? Or are you willing to let your Christianity cost you something? Are you like Peter? Man, Peter was a train wreck. Peter would be in every program. Peter would be in RU if they had it. So how do you know? I just had a feeling. He's got stuff. He's got things going on in his head. He's a loose cannon, but he's the first one to get out of the boat. He's the one that takes the baton of Christianity and runs with it and acts. When his loved ones and friends are being tortured for Christ, he's the one that stands up. Could we be a little more like Peter? Outside of the denial, I don't think that would be a bad thing. Maybe in your own heart tonight. Maybe you're tired of being marginal. Maybe tonight you're going to say, for sure, thou art that Christ, the Son of God, and you're my Savior, and I'm going to serve you to the fullest. Very stark contrast between Peter and Judas. Although Peter was the other one that denied, Judas was the betrayer. Judas would be the one that would be tied to the devil himself as the son of perdition. Hey, be careful that you're not doing things that pull people away from Christ, but help people get closer to Christ. If there was a summary for that, the message here tonight, it would be that. Don't be marginal. All in. Don't be anti-Christ. Be 100%. I have decided to follow Jesus. Listen now, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back. No turning back. Let's all stand tonight. When you go verse by verse, you can't dodge verses. There they are. When we look at these things, and John, as sad as John 6:66 is, makes John 6:69 glorious. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Hey, when people abandon the things of truth, may you be the one that says, I'm not going anywhere. I'm doubling down. I am all in for Jesus. Brother Primer, will you dismiss us in prayer tonight?